Thanks, guys. Tim, alcoholic. Okay, if you have not come up for some of these additional sheets, please do so. I'm going to review resentments real quick from last week. If you weren't here last week, take all three. If you were here last week, feel free to take three again, but you only need the two to the right. Okay, so we are on page 67, last paragraph, the word notice. But we're going to take a moment and just look at last week. And to do that, I'd like to turn back to page 64, bottom of the paragraph, bottom of the page. And this last paragraph is dealing with resentments. Remember, we're doing the fourth step here, where we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, meaning written. So it's not in your head, right? So we are reading halfway through the paragraph, and we're looking at our sheet. The sheet is resentments, meaning re-feel, means it's a past event, it's already happened. And we see column one, it says, I am resentful at. And the big book tells us, if we switch back here, again, page 64 towards the bottom, we listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. That's column one. This is also where we see the instruction, it's implied, but we'll point it out right now, that we do this from top to bottom. We don't go column one and then go to column two. We fill out all the names of people, institutions, or principles first before we then go to column two. That's the instruction right there, in case that's not clear. Column two, we asked ourselves why we were angry. So you can go back to your resentment sheet here and you can see under the cause, we asked ourselves why we were angry. Going over to page 65 at the top, on our grudge list, meaning our fourth step resentment list, on our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? So in column three on the resentment sheet, you see affects my, which part of self was hurt or threatened. And where hurt or threatened comes from is off of the first line on page 65. And then you see in the little check boxes there, self-esteem, security, ambitions, personal relationships, sex relations, and pride under column three. Then we have under column two definitions for each one of those words, sort of generic definitions, again taken out of our trusty dictionary that you have seen me refer to. And then you see in Bill's example of a three-column list, if you make a three-column list, a four-column list, a 10-column list, it's really irrelevant. There are many people that make the argument that the big book shows three columns and I do three columns. Legitimate argument. But you see, I am resentful at the cause and affects my. You refer back to the sheet. Under column one, it says I'm resentful at the cause and affects my. Okay, we're clear up to that point. All right, let's turn to page 67. Second full paragraph. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? In other words, you're all of those things. You want to look for finding elements or examples of all of those things for column four. On the sheet, we see, just, you know, repeated the exact same way. But the check marks are selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. So you'll look at how the cause can relate to those descriptions. And then for column five, the inventory, again, this is second full paragraph. The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. Column five, where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. And also on page 67, in the top paragraph, line 7, I believe, a prayer. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And then for further amplification, you can always go to page 552, little description on a technique of prayer, the two-week gig. So you can read that. Again, that was Norman Vincent Peale, who's being referred to as the clergyman there. And I think it just makes perfect sense. I've used it myself. You say the prayer even if you don't mean it, and a transformation can happen. And if it doesn't happen, keep saying it. At some point it will, right? Okay, so that's a review from last week. If you have any questions from last week, if you missed and that was too fast and you want to chit-chat afterwards, I'm in no hurry tonight, so take advantage. Okay, bottom of 67, last paragraph. Notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. Now, just to highlight that, let's turn back to page 65, and we see in Bill's example of a three-column resentment sheet, we see under affects my for self-esteem, there's four examples of it, and in the final one, my wife, next to security, he's bracketed the word fear. Now, let's see what he says about it. Back to page 67. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. So we are now going to look at our fears sheet. Fears are future events. They have not happened yet. It's fear of something that's going to happen. I'm going to get a divorce. I'm going to be laid off. My kid's not going to make it into Harvard. The house is going to go into foreclosure. These are things that have not happened yet. And we get an instruction here. It says, page 68, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. So we look at the sheet under column 1. What does it say? Exact same thing. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. Now column 2 on the fear sheet. We asked ourselves why we had them. So I read that right from the text. It's merely been put into column 2 there. And then in column 3, it's the next sentence. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Selfishness, self-centered, self-will, self-something is not good, right? You don't want that. You want to be dependent upon a higher power, not yourself. If you're dependent upon yourself, you must always refer back to the fact that we are powerless over alcohol and, quite frankly, every other thing too. So to depend on yourself, you're fighting a losing battle. Okay, so that's column 3. And we see there it says, self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis. How do we have a different basis? It's a psychic change. We view the world differently. Rather than the world is out to get us, we're viewing the world, what can we pack into the stream of life? How can we be an asset to life rather than a loiterer, a squatter? Right? We want to go and provide something. We don't want to be a shoplifter. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. I underline trust because notice it does not say we believe in infinite God. By saying you believe in an infinite higher power, you are still talking about it. It's philosophical. It's discussion in 1, 2, and 3. Trust is when you're doing something about it. It's a verb. It's action. It's hard. I don't want to write this crap out. That's trust, right? I use the story of the firefighters. I pick up the phone. There's smoke in the building. I have absolute belief that the firefighters will come and they will put out this fire. I am convinced of it. I'll talk about that all day long. They will come and they will put their life on the line to put the fire out here and get us out of here. Fact. If the smoke gets too bad and I have to go up to the roof because they're not here quite in time, and they pull up and they say, gee, we can't put the fire out fast enough. We're going to hold out a blanket, jump into the blanket. That's not belief anymore. That's trust. That's dependence. And it's only that after I let go the side of the building. I've surrendered to the event. I've put my life in their hands. Completely different. Conversational, belief, faith, 1, 2, and 3. Trust, dependence, action, verb, 4 through 12. Where we are now, 4. Trust. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity? Didn't say God remove the calamity. It said that God would have us have serenity in calamity. Right? Big difference. And the beauty of that, somebody might say, well, that's a little tricky, you know? But the beauty of that is you can have serenity right this second. Maybe fixing the calamity takes 4 years. So for you to be pain-free might take 4 years if you're waiting for the calamity to go away. But if you're looking for serenity, it can be instantaneous. The fear of the problem can be removed now. Pray for the fear to be removed, not for the house to be rebuilt. May take 5 years. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator, capital C. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. Men of faith have courage. They trust their God. So faith is the foundation, is the base, but then you prove it through trust. If someone says, I have faith in God, we talk about it. If someone says, I trust in God, I say, oh, how so? You'd have to give me an example now. Well, I wrote out my fourth step sheet. Good example. Good example. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. So we look back at our fear sheet, column 4. And this is actually the fear's prayer. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. At once. Just starting the process, we begin to outgrow fear. So, pretty clear. We write down what the fear is. We write down all of our fears. Job, marriage, kids, car, financial. Write it all down. Then we go to column 2. And then what we describe the fear. Why did we have them? Then we go to column 3. And it's going to be based on some form of self-reliance, self-confidence, self-will, self-discipline, self-reliance. All of those things, and that's why it's tricky for alcoholics in general, and I think it's tricky for, civilians also. There's going to be times that self-will, self-confidence, self-determination, self-discipline is going to work for you. You've decided you're going to, January 1, you're going to go to the gym. Well, self-discipline may work for you in that. If it doesn't, and you try again, and it doesn't, and you try again, and it doesn't, guess what? You're beyond human aid for that. You must switch to a God plan, right? So it self-will works until it doesn't. When it doesn't, you know, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. If it's not working on that topic, give up. You're powerless. Surrender to that, and you use the same thing over again, right? The answer to every problem is right there. Right? How many different 12-step programs? I've seen a couple of different crazy stats on this. I'm going to go with the really low one. 60 plus. It's in the Bill W. documentary movie. They have 60 plus. So there's 60 plus who just changed the word on alcohol. So you can put any word in there. Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there. But above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off the track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes, absurd extremes perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think the most of our troubles of the race, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school will allow man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? Funny you mention that. Let's turn to our sex conduct sheet. And it's going to be slightly out of order here, but I'm sure you guys can deal with it. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. That's column 2. We reviewed our own conduct over years past. Next line in the big book. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Notice it does not say and now. So that's column 3. And then the check boxes there are selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. Next line. Whom had we hurt? That's column 1. Whom had we hurt? So you'd start with column 1 and you'd go right on down the list of, in your opinion, questionable sexual behavior, right? And you just line it up there. Go right on down and make the list. And then you'd move to column 2 and you'd describe what that behavior was, what that conduct was or is, currently is, right? You're going to be on both on this, right? Next line out of the big book. Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? That's column 4 on the sheet. And you check off. Yeah, my girlfriend became jealous because I had, you know, two other girlfriends. So I caused jealousy. You check that off. The idea is for you to delve, to peel the onion back, to find out exactly what you've done. Next line out of the big book. Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? Now, I hope I didn't emphasize it so much yet tonight, but now I'm going to take advantage of it. Everything up to the part where we are deciding our part in the game, our faults, to me is not so interesting. It only gets interesting in column 5 on resentment, column 3 on fears, and column 5 on this sex conduct sheet. That's where we need to figure out what we've done to have participated in this event. And I used the example last week with resentments, that there can be some examples, some extreme examples, where it does not appear as though you are at fault at all, right? And if that's the case and you legitimately feel that way, the fact that it's on your resentment list means you have a resentment over it, means that's your part in it. That's the exact nature of your wrong. You can strip it one more time back if you want to, in your head. You don't have to have another column for it. Selfish, self-centered is the root of all of our troubles. All. Right? So it's some sort of thing. A resentment can be considered self-centered. So I am allowing that to block me from the sunlight of the Spirit, from going out and doing good work. Right? It's blocking me from being 100% present in step 12. I'm futzing around with stuff in 4 and 5. Right? I don't want to let it go. That son of a gun, I'll tell you, he did X, Y, and Z. That may be true. Your problem is you're holding the resentment. And if you don't let that go, that's like drinking poison and hoping that they're going to pass away from it, right? Doesn't work that way. We want to let it go so that we can open up the channel. The channel is our higher power entering our life so that we can live happy, joyous, and free in 10 and 11. And the purpose of living happy, joyous, and free in 10 and 11 is to do 12. Right? So we read the last line on the sex conduct, and then the final line in the text for that paragraph is, we got this all down on paper and looked at it. So that means, again, it's not in our head. We've written it down. And Rob made a great point before also, is that all of these sheets are in Excel form, so you can type into it if you want, and then you can password protect it so it's not found, which I have two examples from my old home group where fourth step sheets were found. Not a pretty story. Not a pretty story. All right, back to page 69. Oh, I forgot that. We're on page 69. Oh, you guys. In this way, we try to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? So you may get a name down here and are not crystal clear what the deal is. I don't know. Was it appropriate or not? We weren't going steady, so I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. Put it down there and then meditate and pray on whether it was selfish or not. That's the test. And you might have one opinion today and 6 months have a different opinion. Whatever. We asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised or loathed. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable. But let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Balance, middle of the road, take your time. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so. But this is only a half truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. Pretty clear, right? We are not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. And do I have that on there? Yeah, so there's the prayer on column 5 on the sex sheet. There's the prayer written down. If sex is very troublesome, and quite frankly, if any behavior is quite troublesome, right? If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have become to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. Those are all assets, right? For we look on them as sick people. But now, wait a minute. It seems like they're bringing this thing home. They're going to end this chapter. But what about harms other than sex? That you've stolen, that you've lied about something. Two examples, I can't think of a third right now. But so we have to have a place to write other harms, non-sexual. But the big book is not real clear on this as developing a fourth sheet. So if you look at your sex conduct, I've listed also other harms. So not only would we put down what's happened, you know, sexually, we put down, you know, the car that you wrecked and denied it and you didn't pay for the damage, that sort of stuff, right? So all harms are on this sheet, sexual or otherwise, padding your expense account, right? Lying is a harm, right? It's not a fear, it's not a resentment. You got to have a place to put it down. Why do we have to put it down someplace? Because we're going to have to deal with it in 8. We're going to have to write it again someplace else, right? Or just use the sheet. You can do that also. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. But look what it says about harms. 4 lines from the bottom of 70. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct. That would be like a column 1, right? Whom had we hurt? And are willing to straighten out the past, which is like a 4. Which is like a 5, column 5, on the sex conduct. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will. Wow, not saying to remove the behavior. He's saying God can remove whatever self-will blocked you off from him. That's the purpose. If you have already made a decision, step 3, and an inventory, step 4, of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And we're going to stop there tonight.